Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, June 4th, 2014. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Bergdahl welcome celebration canceled. Wolf pups seen in southwestern Oregon. Moscow Council approves Indian Hills dedicated parkland swap for bigger park. And Murray Bill would increase money for Pullman Moscow Regional Airport runway realignment project. Well, details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Organizers in Haley have canceled a June 28th welcome home event for war prisoner Bo Bergdahl, who was released Saturday in Afghanistan after being held prisoner by the Taliban since 2009. Organizers say the town of 8,000 doesn't have the infrastructure to support such a big event spurred by national news. The town has been hit with numerous angry emails and phone calls from people who feel Bergdahl deserted his U.S. Army unit in Afghanistan and therefore should be criticized rather than being given a hero's welcome. Haley Police Chief Jeff Gunter told the Associated Press, if you had 10,000 people, 5,000 on one side and 5,000 on the other, then just due to the national attention, we don't know what to expect. Biologists say the first known litter of wolf pups born in the Southern Cascade Mountain Range since the 1940s have been sighted east of Medford, Oregon. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife say biologists saw and photographed two wolf pups peeking out from a pile of logs and may have heard more. The Associated Press has published one of the photos. The wolf pups are the furthest south and furthest west packing activity since wolf reintroduction efforts began in the West in the 1990s. The pups are believed to be the progeny of a wolf dubbed OR7, who is famous for wandering from his birthplace in northeastern Oregon to northern California and then back into southwestern Oregon. The U.S. Supreme Court has refused to stay an Oregon federal district court judge's ruling reversing the state's same-sex marriage ban. The decision means same-sex marriages can go forward in Oregon. The National Organization for Marriage asked for a stay in an emergency appeal to the high court after District Judge Michael McShane ruled May 19th the state's same-sex marriage ban violates the U.S. Constitution. McShane had refused to grant the National Organization for Marriage intervener status in the case after Oregon's Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum refused to present a case for upholding the ban in court. Officials with Sunshine Silver Mines Corporation identified the miner who died Monday in the Sunshine Mine near Kellogg as 36-year-old Nick Rounds. Officials told the Spokesman Review yesterday Rounds was working on top of a skip with another miner. A skip is a device for moving workers and ore to different levels of the mine. The two miners were getting ready to move the skip, but it moved by itself before Rounds could get clear of the device. Federal mine inspectors were at the Sunshine Mine yesterday. The investigation has stopped work at the mine. The Ada County Highway District Commission voted today to have crews begin removing buffered bike lanes downtown in Boise that had been in place for only 5 weeks. The workers will begin removing the lanes this weekend. The lanes make some riders feel safer because there is a line of parked cars between them and moving traffic. However, the parked cars also blocked sight lines between riders and vehicular traffic turning right at intersections. A group of specialized riders specializing in fast delivery of food downtown had told the Boise Weekly they didn't feel safer with the buffered bike lanes because of the obstructed views and the extra care they had to take avoiding passenger doors which might open on parked cars. The bike lanes were meant to be a trial that would last until the Ada County Highway District begins resurfacing downtown streets in August, but Highway District commissioners took 3 hours on the issue today, including public comment and discussion among themselves, before a motion to keep the lanes in place until August died on a tie vote. The Moscow City Council Monday night voted to approve a swap of dedicated future parkland parcels in the Indian Hills 6th edition so developers can dedicate parkland adjacent to a current parkland parcel to make a larger neighborhood park. Indian Hills 6th edition is 23 acres with 69 lots. The City Council approved the plat with a mix of residential and commercial zones in 2008. On Monday, the council rezoned the area to allow more commercial uses and also voted to allow developer Thompson Family Limited Partnership to move a dedicated parkland parcel so it's adjacent to another planned park near Alturas Technology Park to create a larger park. The city also agreed to purchase 7,083 square feet from Thompson for part of the parkland for $47,500, with $40,000 of that coming from a private contributor. During a public hearing on the issue Monday, resident Bill Parks expressed concern about sight lines for a park that would be further from the eyes of parents of children that would be using the park.
I and our neighbors have worked really hard on what is coming up next to make the park there a safer park, because some of you may or may not have remembered that Roberto Moreno spoke here a year ago or so, and he was a former forensic psychologist working with people in Texas who were criminals, and particularly he was also a profiler for the FBI on serial killers and serial rapists and so
on. Well, what does this have to do with the preliminary plat?
It has to do with the fact that the problem that we worked so hard in our neighborhood was to get some oversight of a park. And here it looks like you're going to approve another park with absolutely no oversight at all. And as Professor Moreno said, you always say it can't happen here, and you don't bother with it at all until something happens, and then it's too late and you can't do enough. And I'm disappointed in the city staff for not remembering what Professor Moreno said, and also Professor Wegman, Jerry Wegman over there, who used to be a assistant DA in the Bronx, talking about the necessity of having oversight on parks where children play to keep predators and murderers out of there. And here we have another plot doing the same thing. And we work so hard in our neighborhood to get this thing in the next one, and it looks like you've just ignored that completely. I'm disappointed in both the council and in the staff.
That was Moscow resident Bill Parks. Other members of the public expressed support for the dedicated land swap and the larger park near Alturas. Attorney Susan Wilson, representing developer Garrett Thompson, addressed Parks' concerns.
Obviously, we want this to be a safe park. We believe that Parks and Rec Department wouldn't recommend approval if it weren't a safe park, and I certainly don't necessarily want to compare Moscow to the Bronx. But I also want you to consider, we had somebody come up, one of the neighbors for the first time at Planning and Zoning came up and comment about that he was concerned about the safety from a traffic standpoint of where the parkland is now, and hopefully it made it clear when we explained that the, you know, Highway 8 was going to be, you know, 50 or 60 feet away. And then, of course, at the end of the cul-de-sac, it's hard to envision what traffic issues you may have. But you can also parallel that with the safety concerns that Bill Parks brought up, and that if we put it out there, you know, where there's lots of traffic, then you have the other side of the realm who's concerned about the safety issues of having heavy traffic right next to a parkland. So in some cases, we're just not going to make everybody happy.
That was Susan Wilson speaking at Monday night's Moscow City Council meeting. Negotiations over teachers' salaries ended late last night with no agreement between the Moscow School District and the Moscow Education Association. The teachers' union is seeking a 3.5% salary increase for Moscow teachers after initially requesting a 4% increase, while the school district's offer is 1.35%. School district lead negotiator Margaret Dibble said there is only so much the district can ask of taxpayers. At last night's negotiating session, Dibble noted the district now has 42 more teachers than the state will cover, so any money for raises will come from property taxes locally. Union lead negotiator Mike Ware said other school districts, including Potlatch, are offering teachers at least 2% salary increases this year. Salaries and fringe benefits are the final topics in discussions between the school district and the Moscow Education Association. The two sides have already negotiated working conditions and class sizes. The next negotiation meeting, which is open to the public under Idaho law, will take place Wednesday, June 25th at Moscow Middle School. The judge in the murder trial of Charles A. Capone of Moscow will not allow a request by prosecutors to present evidence from an experiment that presents a theory that Capone dumped the body of his estranged wife, Rachel Anderson, in the Snake River at Lewiston 4 years ago. Capone's trial is scheduled to begin Monday, June 23rd. Co-defendant David C. Stone pled guilty in December to failing to report a death. In a plea deal, Stone is expected to testify at Capone's trial in exchange for a 7-year prison sentence and having the murder charge dropped. Rachel Anderson disappeared in April 2010, and her body has not been found. Authorities have been searching the Snake River near Lewiston since November and have not located Anderson's body. Democratic U.S. Senator Patty Murray of Washington has introduced a transportation bill that would provide additional funding for planned improvements to the Pullman-Moscow Regional Airport. The 2015 Federal Transportation and Housing Bill will be considered tomorrow by the Senate Appropriations Committee. In a press release, Murray said the bill includes money for transportation infrastructure improvements throughout the state, in addition to the local airport project, which would include upgrades to the airport's runway to allow larger aircraft to land there. The amount of money specifically designated for the Pullman-Moscow Regional Airport project was not made available, but it would greatly reduce the approximately $6.6 million in local matching funds required for the runway project. The total cost of the project is $66 million. Approximately 35 community members from the Moscow area participated in a discussion last night facilitated by Idaho Commission on the Arts Director Michael Faison at Moscow City Hall. Faison split their room into groups, gave instructions, and posed a single focus question.
This tonight is an actual planning meeting. We're actually going to be working. We're going to be breaking into some small groups. We're going to be discussing things and writing some things down and sticking them up on the walls. And don't worry, city folks, we won't be writing on the walls. And we'll have these nice little sticky cards that we're going to write on and stick up. And we're going to differentiate a lot of information tonight together. And it's an exciting process. And I hope you're going to enjoy it as much as I do every time we do it. So, but it's, those voices are important in the room. All those voices are important. So this is a step-by-step process that allows all the voices in the room to be heard and all the ideas to be heard. in that in sequence. It's kind of cool. And so some of you who would jump right up in front may feel just a little bit inhibited initially because I'm going to hold you back because we're going to do this step by step. And others of you are going to say, oh yeah, this is what I want. Don't make me get in front of the crowd. And so we start working alone, thinking alone, writing down your own ideas, and then we'll discuss the next step in that process. Very open-ended, very straightforward. How can the Idaho Commission on the Arts assist you to achieve your vision for your community in this economy? How can the Idaho Commission on the Arts assist you to achieve your vision for your community in this economy?
That was Idaho Commission on the Arts Director Michael Faison at a facilitated discussion last night at Moscow City Hall. Faison noted there were many commonalities in the responses from other regions in Idaho, with the exception being the Moscow focus was more on supporting individual artists. Other areas of interest included connecting communities, art advocacy and awareness, arts education, rural inclusion, and creating facilities for the arts. The results of the current regional planning meetings will be compiled and sent to those who attended the community meetings and will be used to help develop the Idaho Commission on the Arts' next four-year plan. Faison said the Commission's long-range plan for 2010 through 2014 was a successor to an earlier five-year plan and a direct response to constituents' expressed needs. The previous plan was comprehensive, having been conceived and written with suggestions and comments from arts supporters across Idaho. Faison said that plan, which was implemented between 2002 and 2008, produced greater service reliability and rural reach than those before it and led to the present improved plan. The Idaho Commission on the Arts' mission is to provide resources, information, and technical assistance to artists and to arts and cultural organizations around Idaho. In addition, the Commission administers grants, fellowships, and residencies for Idaho artists, schools, traditional artists, and arts organizations. It also mails a statewide arts newsletter and maintains a website. At the meeting, Faison gave University of Idaho Art and Design Department Chair Sally Maclis special recognition for serving two terms on the Idaho Commission on the Arts Board. ICA board members are appointed by the governor. Besides Faison, Idaho Commission on the Arts Deputy Director Stuart Weiser and Community Development Director Michelle Coleman traveled to Moscow to participate in the discussions. KRFP citizen journalist Marie McHugh contributed this story. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service, it'll be mostly clear through Monday, the exception being Saturday night, which will be partly cloudy. Temperatures, low tonight 46, highs 72 tomorrow, and around 74 Friday through Monday. Lows will be in the mid to upper 40s. Currently at the Pullman Moscow Regional Airport, fair skies, 75 degrees. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next, we have Between the Lines, a weekly news magazine, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. That'll be followed at 7:30 by This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian news magazine, and we'll have music after 8 p.m. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events, and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow, be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the Radio Free Moscow website to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis. Marie McHugh and Alan Solon assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, 90.3 FM, community radio for the Palouse.